This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
And good morning. Good to have you with us here for In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. We're going to talk about a new program that Medicare is, it's a pilot program they're testing and will be for years. And here to explain it is Bree LaPerriere. She's a skilled nurse with a company called Right at Home Tyler. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Thank you.
And is skilled nurse the proper title? What do I call you?
Yeah, that works. I am a registered nurse.
Right, an RN. Okay.
Yes, I am an RN, and then I'm also a social worker. I just have a kind of a dual background. So I've done a lot of things.
All right. First of all, I mean, we're not going to make it a commercial, but tell me what Right at Home Tyler is all about.
Absolutely. Right at Home is an agency that covers Tyler and extended areas around Tyler, but we provide in-home caregiving. We do have a skilled side as well, but the primary focus of Right at Home and Tyler is providing non-skilled care. So we call those provider services. So things that individuals need help with, like bathing, dressing, transportation, meal preparation, all of those things that fall really outside of the realm of home health care.
Right.
That's what we do, more of the caregiving side.
Okay. I'm kind of familiar with that. I have some good friends. They're both retired. They sold the business who ran an operation like this. And it was not, you know, you're not sending a nurse.
That's correct.
You're basically sending somebody to help you with the stuff that's getting hard for you to do.
That's exactly right. Help you with the stuff. That's a good way to describe it. All of those things that fall outside.
Go get the groceries, do the dishes, the beds, the laundry, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But obviously, being an RN, you are also involved in what's called a GUIDE program.
That is correct.
Tell me what this is all about.
Yeah, so GUIDE is as you mentioned at the beginning, it is a pilot program. It is an 8-year program that Medicare is trialing, and everyone is very hopeful that it is going to stick and become a long-term journey. Medicare has finally, after years and years, acknowledged that perhaps they were missing the mark, potentially with this particular population of older adults that have a diagnosis of memory loss. So some form of dementia. It could be Alzheimer's. It could be Parkinson's. It could be Lewy body dementia. You know, it could be anything. But this particular population of people that have a memory loss diagnosis, and not only have they missed the mark of taking care of those particular patients, but their families.
Right.
Because a lot of time the caregiving falls to a spouse, a son or a daughter, and that's really challenging. And so they have finally, about a year ago, they started this pilot program, and they are really trying to help reinforce all of the resources for those individuals and their families.
And there's so many types of dementia. You mentioned Lewy body, for example. My understanding is that's what Bruce Willis has.
Absolutely.
Is maybe the most famous sufferer of that. But you're right. If you can't afford help,
right, it is very costly.
It's on you.
Yes, and that, you know, and even having the help, you know, if your spouse, you know, the person that you've loved and lived with for the last, you know, several decades is struggling with this, the 24/7 caregiving, and I am reluctant to call it a burden, but that caregiving responsibility, it often falls to you.
Yeah.
And that is challenging. And you're right. It is. It's a financial burden. It can be a physical burden at times. And certainly, more than anything, an emotional. Yeah. It is emotionally challenging, for sure.
Well, for example, if it's parents, you have a life to live. You have a family to raise. You have a job.
Absolutely.
It all piles up.
It does. And it often, you know, as you mentioned, you know, this sandwich generation where you have aging parents that you are needing to care for, but you also might still have children in elementary or junior high school, and you're trying to college you're trying to pay for, juggle a full-time job. You know, you've got your life and your responsibilities, but you're also trying to get mom or dad to the doctor or to the grocery store or see that their needs are taken care of.
And as you say, there is also the emotional toll. There's the fatigue. There are the emotions. You're watching somebody you care about about. It may be a spouse, but you're watching somebody you care about very much slip away.
Yes.
In many ways.
Absolutely. And there's a phenomenon out there that is studied, and it's caregiver burnout or compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll hear those words associated, and that's exactly what it is. It can become, for lack of a better term, kind of draining, and just emotionally the constant toll that it takes on you as you worry about, and as you mentioned, watch this loved one who you care so deeply about, mm-hmm. be unable to care for themselves as they once were.
We've all seen depictions of dementia, or maybe experienced it, not just unable to care for themselves, but unable to recognize you, unable to remember, unable, you know.
And just the simple tasks, yeah, just, you know, simple recall, or just remembering, you know, the very simple things, someone's name, or, you know, your loved ones, mm-hmm. how to do just the very simplest tasks become very difficult.
So this program is for the caregivers.
It is designed for the caregivers. That is correct. So at the very high level, it is designed to provide what we call in the healthcare community respite care.
Mm-hmm.
So respite is essentially that, giving someone a bit of relief.
Give you a break.
A spell of relief. Yes,
yeah.
A break. And so that is exactly what this is designed for. Now, there are components of this program where that are certainly designed to benefit the patient themselves, the patient that has the diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's. But largely, it is to provide relief in a lot of ways for the family loved one or the caregiver,
mm-hmm.
that is providing this care to their spouse or their parents. Whatever that is.
Well, and it's relief, and it's also, from what I'm reading here, it's giving them skills that maybe they don't have.
Absolutely.
beyond just being a caring family member. Because if the care is not correct, the results can be, I don't want to say catastrophic, but they're certainly
negative. For sure.
Certainly negative, yeah.
Sure, sure. And you're right. You know, these a lot of times these people have no healthcare experience whatsoever. They're not nurses or doctors or caregivers themselves. And they find themselves in a situation that they feel inequipped to handle. They don't feel that they have the skills or the knowledge, mm-hmm. to provide this level of care that their loved one is needing. And you're right. The GUIDE program, which GUIDE is actually an acronym that stands for Guiding an Improved Dementia Experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it is truly trying to equip these family members with the knowledge and the resources and the skills that they need to feel best equipped to care for their loved one.
And if the care isn't correct, the result for the patient, for lack of a better word, can be very negative. You know, there's depression there, from what I'm reading. I mean, behavioral, psychological symptoms, etc.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know, again, we would never expect these family members to become professionals or even, you know, proficient in what they're doing, but we don't want them to feel, and Medicare has recognized, they do not want them to feel inadequate or, you know, that they don't have these resources at their disposal. So this program has provided that. Yes, it helps on a psychosocial level. It helps on a caregiving level. There are many facets of this program. And again, it is just designed to really help come alongside these family caregivers and make them feel supported.
And the problem is large. What I'm reading here, 6.7 million Americans in 2023?
Yeah, so the numbers are really staggering. Let's see, you said 6.7 million Americans. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I got that from the Medicare site.
No, yeah. Absolutely. So I think right now, you know, in America, there are about 60 million people that are Medicare age.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, not all of those individuals have a memory diagnosis. So what you mentioned was about 10%, and that's about correct.
Okay.
You know, here locally in Smith County, our numbers are right at roughly 50,000 people Medicare age,
mm-hmm.
and about 5,500 of those have a memory diagnosis of some kind, Alzheimer's or dementia. So yes, the need, even here locally in our own area, is is you know, extreme. I mean, there really are a lot of people that would benefit from this service.
Nationally, Medicare says we'll have about 14 million projected cases by 2060.
Yeah. Yes, the numbers, as you know, baby boomers, as they're getting to be 65, our numbers these numbers are about to exponentially grow. So where we are now, we have a substantial need, but certainly forecasting and looking into the future, the need is only going to grow.
I'm a reasonably early boomer, so yeah, we're already all of us, almost all of us, on Medicare now.
Sure.
This is providing help for the family caregiver, because there are limitations to what Medicare can cover.
That's correct.
In terms of professional help.
That is correct. And so as long as I have been doing this, until about a year ago, it was always really hard for families to understand that Medicare was just very limited in what services they did provide, especially in-home services.
Yeah.
They have covered things like skilled nurses, therapists, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But as you and I mentioned beforehand, this is about the rest of the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. All the other things that you need. And again, Medicare has traditionally not covered that. This program has really changed the game, and they are providing some hours annually for that care, that respite care to the family member.
As far as institutionalizing a person, I know Medicare does not pay for a retirement home, for example. Medicaid would only pay for it if you expend all of your resources.
That's correct.
And basically can get Medicaid. Is that the same for memory care? Is that?
Yeah, so that's all the same. The same
Medicare's
rules
apply. Not going to pay for
Medicare
that.
Medicare is not going to pay. You know, Medicare is very limited. When you're needing to be, you use the word institutionalized, or if you're needing some type of in-facility care, what Medicare does is very short term. They will often do, you know, if you've, and there are certain criteria, you know, if you've been hospitalized and you need to go in for a short term reason, if you need some rehab or if you need some wound care or something like that, they will pay for essentially 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of that is even covered at 100%, but essentially 3 months or so of care. And then, like you said, you're either privately paying out of your own pocket or you are going back home to be cared for by your family.
I have been through that. My mom had a stroke. This is years ago, obviously, and Medicare covered rehab.
That's correct.
But only for a while.
Yeah.
So she knew she was kind of under the gun. Get into shape now. Don't dawdle because, you know, the clock is ticking.
You got to do your therapy so that we can get you back home because, yeah, the Medicare coverages are very limited.
So knowing that going in, knowing it's going to be on you, where do you start with somebody who finds himself in this situation?
Sure.
I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to care for Dad beyond just, you know.
Absolutely. I would say, you know, certainly the company that I work for is, again, right at home. And I would say simply just picking up the phone and calling and inquiring. Sometimes just the information is power. And knowing what resources do you have, what are your options as far as what is covered? You know, in like this particular program guide for Medicare recipients, you know, if you call and talk with us and we determine, you know, yeah, it sounds like your mom or your dad might qualify for this program, we certainly take the heavy lifting, if you will, and we help facilitate that referral, get the ball rolling. And there are certainly other ways, too, to get some help, some other ways to get those services paid for besides private paying. It's just a matter of a phone call and exploring those options.
Yeah. Okay, somebody, they're dealing with, let's say, a father.
Yeah.
He is slowly losing awareness.
Sure.
I guess first of all we ought to ask how do you know that this is what you're dealing with, that it's not just Dad's just only forget stuff?
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, a lot of times that's how it starts, right? Just basic forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people say, oh, well, that's just, you know, I'm getting older and I just misplace things.
Well, how many times have we all walked into the kitchen and said, well, what did I come in here for?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Where are my keys?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So having that initial conversation with your primary care provider, the medical professional that you, you know and trust, is step one. And really determining, is this simply age-related memory loss, or is there something more going on here?
So there is some natural memory loss that just goes with the territory.
It's part of the plan. but there are, you know, there are tests that can be done by certain physicians or specialists, like a neurologist. There are tests that can be done to determine if this memory loss is a little more substantial, if perhaps it is a dementia-related diagnosis. So that would be kind of the first place to start to know if there is a formal diagnosis of dementia.
So it's not just not remembering that movie we saw on Netflix two months ago. Yeah.
That's correct. But I will say, even if you haven't had that formal diagnosis of dementia given by your primary care physician, I wouldn't let that stop you from calling and inquiring.
If you're concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, because a lot of times we can, you know, work in tandem and we can be making the referral while you're having those conversations with your practitioner, so there's no delay in care. We want to get you the help that you need and that you're entitled to as quickly as possible.
You've had the diagnosis then of your family member. You know what's coming down the road at all of you. How do you get involved with GUIDE?
Yeah.
And what will begin to happen?
Sure. What does that process look like? And so, as I mentioned, starts with a phone call. You talk to myself or one of my team members, and we talk to you about GUIDE, really explain the program, and then we are going to make that referral to our GUIDE partner. And we are going to link you up. And what that entails is simply verifying that dementia diagnosis or the memory loss, whatever that is. And then beyond that, once you are enrolled in the program, it generally takes about 6 to 8 weeks. As you know, dealing with Medicare, there are sometimes, you know, timelines that we wish we could move a little faster. But when you're dealing with insurances, sometimes it takes time.
And part of the goal here is to save Medicare money, too, in that you stay at home. You're not going to the hospital all the time.
Absolutely. And we want, you know, that's exactly right. We want you to be able to stay at home as long as you want to be there. We want to make sure that you're connected. And so Medicare certainly wants you to stay home and out of the hospital. So we would get you connected with a GUIDE provider. And you would, once the referral is processed, you would be connected at that point with all of the resources. And so you would get the 24/7 nursing care, the nursing line. You would get the care management that GUIDE provides, just helping you navigate this complex world. And then the arm the thing that we provide here locally from the right at home side is the in-home caregiver. So each GUIDE recipient is entitled to 72 hours of caregiving in a one-year period. So I always tell people, it's not a ton, but it's much better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, 1 year ago, we were at Medicare covered no hours. And so these 72 hours are intended to, you know, again, provide respite to a family member so that they can simply go to their own doctor appointment without, you know, carrying their loved one with them. Or maybe they need to go to the grocery store alone, or simply go and do something like play a round of golf, just to take a little bit of a break from providing 24/7 care.
It's about, I'm sitting here trying to do the math in my head, and that's always dangerous. an hour and a half a week, something like that.
So the way that Medicare wants this kind of rolled out, there are a few rules to GUIDE, not many, but a few kind of criteria, if you will. So they do require that the shifts that we provide, the caregiving respite services that we provide, are provided in 4-hour blocks.
Okay.
So the way that is done is, you know, that the way that it's designed, I guess, on Medicare side is just 4 hours is a good amount of time for someone to be able to go and run an errand or go to the doctor if they need to. And so here I am trying to do math in my head. But,
yeah, I know. That's always dangerous.
Yes. So we provide that service in 4-hour blocks. Now, I will say that.
That's a Medicare rule.
Yes, we can't bend that rule. But I will say, if you needed more time, if you said, you know, I actually needed to be gone from the house for 12 hours today, that's actually okay. We can stack those as long as we can do 3-4 hour shifts together. Does that make sense? So, because sometimes families...
But then you're robbing from the future.
The future.
Need. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. So most of our clients, I will say, most people simply utilize the four-hour shifts, and they do spread them out throughout the year so that they can have those pockets of time where they can rest assured that their family member at home will be loved and cared for by a caregiver while they go and do their errands.
What is the training for the home, for the person, the relative? What does the training look like? What is it they need to learn about taking care of someone in this condition?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do, there's, you know, all kinds of formal training. There's informal training. So, you know, the caregivers that we send into the home while the family member is, you know, is away, they receive, you know, in-person training. A lot of times they will work with a nurse to know, you know, how to safely transfer these individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they need to transfer from the chair or to the wheelchair or from the bed to the bedside commode. You know, there is some level of skill that goes into that. But most of the training is, you know, hands-on and just simply, this is the safest way to do it. It's not, you know, there's not necessarily a right or a wrong way, but this is, we always, you know, want to keep the person safe from the caregiver standpoint and from the family.
And as far as dealing with the disease itself, are the family caregivers given instructions about here's what to expect, here's how to deal with it?
Yes.
Don't try this. Don't
sure.
say this to them.
Sure. Know? Yeah. There are, yeah. So that would come from, you know, right at home, again, we're providing the in-home caregiving, but the guide program itself does provide education, information. There are support groups, there are classes, and as you mentioned, kind of how to navigate these new waters. Mm-hmm. What should you say? What conversations or topics should you avoid?
Don't get frustrated because they're not going to remember things and
absolutely.
So forth.
Absolutely. And the guide program itself does provide that, and they do a beautiful job of, again, equipping you with knowledge and skills of how to best care for your family.
Navigate this. And isn't there a hotline involved as well?
There is. So Guide has, you know, set aside, and there are teams of people that are available, you know, truly 24/7, which provides a lot of peace of mind. You know, mm-hmm. it seems like it's always 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. when you have these burning questions or something that feels like an emergency, and it brings such peace of mind for those individuals to be able to pick up the phone and know that they are going to speak to someone who is knowledgeable in this disease process and can provide them immediate attention and answers.
Because I'm guessing, and I've not had to deal with it directly, but I am guessing there are going to be moments where the person suffering from this is frustrated, maybe angry. How do I deal with that, et cetera?
Yeah.
That's where the hotline could help you.
Absolutely.
Is this normal?
And just being able to talk through
how do I deal with it? Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know. You know, is this an emergency? Is this a reason to call 911? Or is this simply part of the progression?
Yeah.
So it can bring a lot of peace of mind.
I was looking at the program at the Medicare website. It says what they want is, they want to define a standardized approach to dementia care delivery.
Yes.
Just wherever everybody knows the ropes, you know, and the same ropes.
Yeah, and I think that's important to standardize this care, because otherwise it's just a lot of questions without a lot of answers. And now, certainly everyone is going to have a different dementia experience, mm-hmm. but the progression of the disease can look very similar. And the skills and the thought processes, you know, they are able to be standardized. And so this is Medicare's way of saying, hey, we want you to feel confident in this. And we recognize that this is a problem, and it's going to be an even bigger problem in the years to come. And so the standardization is key.
I mentioned that our best friends in Dallas had a company like this before they retired. And they told me marvelous stories about some of the people they dealt with. One guy was a fighter pilot in World War II and had wonderful stories and so forth. But that's not dealing with this necessarily. How about your home healthcare workers? are they prepared to deal with a dementia patient?
Yes.
Along with the usual stuff.
Absolutely. So, you know, right at home, we get everybody from A to Z, right? We have those same World War II fighter pilots. Yeah. We have those great stories as well. You know, people who are, we cover the bell curve, right? From people who are just needing a little bit of assistance mm-hmm. to, you know, are completely bed confined or, you know, have this dementia diagnosis.
I'm having trouble with the stairs, getting down to the laundry room and so forth.
Right. Yeah. So everything from A to Z. I will say that our caregivers, they do get a comprehensive training, and we have a specific training that we do specifically for caregivers that are going to be caring for clients that do have dementia or Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so it is extensive. It is, it also teaches those caregivers, again, those same skills, kind of what to say, what to avoid, and how to empathize with those individuals, because you're right, it is a different experience than caring for someone who is mentally intact. Mm-hmm. It can come with some challenges. And so our caregivers do, not only do they receive, you know, just kind of the basic training, but if they are going to be working with these individuals with memory diagnosis, there is some additional training and some additional skills that they need to have.
Because I know from my friend's experience, again, forgive me referencing that, but these are not professional nurses.
Correct.
You know, these are not, they're certainly not doctors.
Correct.
And so they're fine with the, you know, just coming in, they're fine with handling, yeah, I need to do your laundry for you or help with the cooking or go shopping for you or, you know, make the bed, whatever. Help you take a bath, that kind of thing. But yeah, you add in dementia.
There's an extra level of complexity. That's right. When you add on the memory loss and the memory issues and all that that entails, then you're right. It's more than just your basic day-to-day things. And so, you know, fortunately, I would say, you know, someone who desires to be a caregiver, they come with the right heart and the right attitude and the want to. And then beyond that, we do equip them and train them. How can you best provide the right level of care for these individuals struggling with the specific disease process? So
yeah,
that's unique, and it's different for each client, but we make sure that training is excellent and sufficient.
You know, it's interesting. Tyler, it's a nice-sized little town, but we're also in the middle of a large area, and I'm reading at the Medicare site that part of their goal is they want to reach people who are high needs people.
Sure.
And it's offering support for development of new care programs targeted to underserved areas, rural communities, people with less access to specialty dementia care.
Absolutely. So Tyler, as you mentioned, you know, Tyler proper is a bit of a hot spot. You know, we are fortunate and blessed to have some big hospital systems, mm-hmm. lots of clinics. Mm-hmm. But beyond Tyler, just beyond, you know, we do have a lot of rural communities. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, certainly communities and towns that have less access to that sophistication or that level of sophisticated mm-hmm. care. And so this program is designed to cover truly coast to coast, where everyone is able to receive these same services. And, you know, as long as you're a Medicare recipient, you can receive and have access to all of these services. And it's nice because certainly the caregiving is in person, but the majority of this program is provided via the hotline, the telephone, you know, virtually or with resources that are sent to you. And so so it is accessible to those who are not right in town.
Yeah. And folks, if you're in that situation and you know your loved one is on Medicare, is eligible for Medicare, find out about this program.
Absolutely.
If you're at your wit's end and you're not sure where to turn and you're not sure what to do at this point.
And I will say, you don't have to use, you know, all the hours at one time or even all the hours. If right now you're managing okay, but you just, man, I could use help just every now and again, mm-hmm. that's fine. And I wanted to touch on one thing you just said. You mentioned Medicare, and it is important. This is for Medicare recipients, traditional Medicare. So it does not, unfortunately, it's you're disqualified, I guess, if you have a Medicare Advantage plan or a Medicare replacement policy. Unfortunately, it has not been expanded to that yet, but traditional Medicare folks, that's really important, and we want to help you.
And we are out of time. Brie LaPerriere.
You got it.
I'm sure I got it right. Sorry, I can't even read my own writing here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you being here, and we will see you guys next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.